Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, the story of Charles Schulz and peanuts. My guest is author David Michaelis, author of a number of books. The new one is called Schulz and Peanuts. It's a biography of the cartoonist Charles Schulz, whose series Peanuts became the icon of American comic strips for decades. More now from author David Michaelis about his book Schulz and Peanuts, a biography. Money was very important, you know, buying that first car, buying that first house, then, you know, the billion-dollar-a-year enterprise. Talk about Schulz, Sparky Schulz and money.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Schulz was a boy in the 30s who his dad did pretty well. He never felt a sense of being poor, but there certainly wasn't a lot to go around either. He wanted nothing but to have a Mickey Mouse watch for Christmas in 1934, and to have that same key to turn in a million hearts, I think, was a very important thing for him. You have to remember that in 1950, when Peanuts began, it was the moment where American prosperity went marching forward. And I think you weren't going to say no when Wilson Sporting Goods came around and said, can we make a Charlie Brown baseball? It was not only un-American, but why would you? Everyone was prospering in ways they never had before. And I think that initial sense of prosperity for kids who had grown up in the Depression, the initial sense of confidence as a GI that Schulz had coming home from the war about himself personally and about his role, I think he felt that he had been saved somehow in the war. But I think he felt very strongly that money was something that made it more acceptable. Peanuts and comic strips in general, were measured by how many readers they had, how many newspapers, how much money they were making. It was important to be commercial as a cartoonist. You weren't really taken seriously, actually, until you were commercial. And in those days, having a contract with Eastman Kodak to advertise the Brownie camera, a contract with the Ford Motor Company, with the Walter Thompson Advertising Agency, this was big stuff for a kid from Snelling and Selby Avenue, whose dad had been a barber. And, you know, Sparky had gone into his father's barbershop. He said, I'm going to make $1,000 a week someday, guys. I'm going to be just like Frank King with Gasoline Alley. And they all looked at him and said, sure, Sparky. I think he had a lot to prove. I think he wanted to show people that he was doing something that had exceptional value. And one of the ways you measured it in those days was money.
Remind us. I mean, it seems like years since I'd read Peanuts. Remind the listeners, you know, some of the themes that he talked about, the 5-cent psychiatrist visit. I mean, you know, his description in 1956 as the youngest existentialist.
One of the first overt themes of Peanuts was cruelty, social cruelty, cruelty among children. And he really did an extraordinary thing with that, because you find Charlie Brown being beaten up in those early years by the girls, even before Lucy turns up. Patty and Violet are laying into this kid in ways that you can't imagine. Today it would be actionable. It would be part of a lawsuit. There is an astonishing degree to which Schulz is showing us the reversal of American ideas about women and men. The War of the Sexes is fought in ways that Thurber had left off with 20 years earlier. Lucy's appearance brings into a whole new level at which he was testing certain themes. Charlie Brown, in an early strip, he races around third base and tries for home. He gets called out. He doesn't even get home, in fact. He slides, but he stops in the middle of the third baseline. He's called out and loses the game. It's maybe the 443rd game that his team has lost, and everyone calls him a blockhead and leaves the field. He lies there, and the next day he's still lying there. And on Wednesday, Charles Schulz drew it that Charlie Brown was still lying on the third baseline and still looking up into a dark night sky saying, why? 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 And this could be a scene out of a Beckett play. This could be, it certainly was new in the comics. And some of the things that he was doing with the questions of what is happiness, later, he was asking these questions that became key questions in the moment that is now called the hippie movement, that the Beatles later brought into some of their great songs. Questions about happiness, questions about how are we going to live our life, questions about who should be happy, who could be happy, what it was all about, were questions that Schulz was asking in the 50s, and was asking, I think, in a way to both be ironic, but then became profound and universal. And I think some of those things that he was working on at the time, it's not my kind, it's people I can't stand, I've learned to dread it, dread life one day at a time. The kinds of bumper stickery, simple, aphoristic phrases were things that he naturally was bringing out of his life. The Lucy psychiatric booth was a joke first on kids having lemonade stands, and was a very sophisticated joke. It was a New Yorker-type joke, and was seen and understood as sophisticated. In fact, one day, at the very early parts of my research, I was talking with Lorne Michaels informally, and he, the creator of Saturday Night Live, was saying comics, stand-up comics, in the early 60s, tested themselves on who got some of the classical Peanuts strips of the 50s, who understood them, you know, who really had recognized early on that this was a guy who was going deeper into the vein of humor that we now think of as theater of the absurd, or think of as ironical humor, never vulgar humor, but always this kind of harmonizing of melancholy with joy, of irony with a dark, mordant sensibility.
I mean, the notion back then that psychiatry and going to visit a psychiatrist was something that people understood outside of, you know, New York or Boston or, you know, San Francisco or L.A. is just amazing.
Yeah, or Snoopy saying, you know, I can remember one of his phrases at one point was, "Don't you ever feel like just biting someone on the leg sometimes?" That kind of churning of aggression or aggressive feelings, or Lucy saying, I remember one of her brilliances is, she says, "I can't decide whether I want to create or destroy." You know, this sort of feeling of being right in the middle of human beings' opposing tendencies. Schultz's characters were always getting very, very close to the things that were appalling to everyone. I think Linus at one point sees a leaf tacking down and then lands. It's all silent, and he finally looks down at the leaf and he says, "Nobody's happy where they are."
Well, very, very dark things that he shielded behind this sweet little harmless, supposedly simply drawn characters. I mean, it's just an amazing way of packaging very dark stuff that the general consumer will want to consume.
I always thought of it as harmonious melancholy, you know, sort of like Virgil did with the Roman Republic. He was making sounds. It's hard to understand, I think, how different it was to hear the things that Schultz was saying at a time when America felt like it was capable of anything. Kennedy was saying we were going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. We'd won the war. Science was going to solve all our problems. And Schultz kept finding ways of poking fun at that by saying we're just human. I mean, when Snoopy finally gets to the moon, he even beats Apollo 11. And, of course, in real life, Apollo 10 had its commanding module and lunar module named after Snoopy and Charlie Brown. So there was already an identification with Schultz and the space program. Mm. But Snoopy got on the moon, and I think it was March of 70. He beat the other astronauts. He beat everybody. He beat the Russians. And he gets up there and he says, you know, "I beat everybody. Here I am on the moon." And the last panel is, "I even beat the cat next door." And with a great grin and with a great sense of vindication. And I think Schultz was always looking for a way in which the big themes of the time, the Cold War, competition with the Russians, could be deflated, that there could be a little pin stuck in it and showing us that it is just the same as the cat next door and having that kind of rivalry.